to me, I've discovered the checklist for mentoring is getting advice, support, and or connections. And the advice is experiential advice, not what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Not what book did you read? What did you do when you were in my shoes?
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. This is my announcer voice. Hello. I'm here with a friend of mine, someone I've known for quite a while, and just one of the most interesting people I know, Mark Carter. He came up with a concept called idea climbing, and we're going to learn all about that today. Mark, how's it going?
So far, so good. Glad to be here.
Yeah. I'm happy to have you on the show, and I appreciate you having me on your show. You know, that was a lot of fun to do. So now we're gonna see how that reciprocation works out.
Flip the script.
Yeah, we get no script here. It's all working through it. But let me, if you don't mind, give a little more background. Obviously, I did a crap job of introducing you. So do me a favor and just kind of jump in and give people a little background on yourself and idea climbing and what it's all about.
Yeah, what it's all about is the short version of a long story. 2 weeks before I graduated college, I read a Tony Robbins self-help book. And in the book, he described basically his lifestyle. And I was a sales and marketing manager at the time. And I said, I want that consulting, speaking, coaching, just really helping people. So I got all the same certifications that he did. And in my DNA, you would call it mentoring now. Back then, I just did it. I sought out successful people and I interviewed them and would get actionable items, something I could do. And then I would teach what they taught me to like Rotary clubs and colleges and high schools. And over 21 years, I've collected a lot of great information. And a few years ago, I called it mentoring. And one of my mentors said, you're doing so much more than just mentoring. You have to call it something else. And I Googled idea climbing. Nothing was there. Filed the federal trademark on it. And what it really is if you have a big idea, it's surrounding yourself with peers, mentors, and referral sources, collaborating together to bring a big idea to life.
Yeah, I love it. And again, I think people that want to try to do something on their own, you know, I appreciate that type of commitment. But the reality is that when you have the right people around you, it just makes everything work, everything easier.
And so many people do the lone wolf syndrome. I fell into that trap. Even though I had mentors, I was just getting advice from them. And I was cold calling and everything was on my own until one of my mentors is a New York Times bestselling author. After 6 years of knowing him, he asked me to run social media for his book launch. And I thought, why wasn't I collaborating earlier? Collaboration is the key.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And let me ask you just to go back a moment. You mentioned, you know, interviewing over 21 years, all these successful people. Is there one or two lessons that maybe resonated that are sort of top of the list that you just keep repeating over and over or that you keep sharing over and over because they were just absolutely sound?
As far as advice?
Yeah, advice or yeah, just things that you picked up from these successful people.
Number one is collaborate.
Okay.
Never try and go alone. Never try and go alone.
Okay.
And two, the common thread with almost everyone from multi-platinum musicians to CEOs and in between, always be marketing your ideas. Share them. Don't hoard them. Don't be afraid someone's going to steal them. Share ideas because then people can join you and help you with the idea. Don't hide your idea thinking somebody's going to steal it.
Okay. So I have an idea for a program that I want to roll out for attorneys that I think is phenomenal, but I'm kind of slowed down because I'm just trying to work it out in my own head. And I haven't, you know, really, you know, figured out exactly how it's going to work or how I'm going to price it or anything. So how do you, I take this amazing concept and surround myself with people that can help me?
Well, the first thing with the peers, mentors, and referral sources, the first thing I would do is go the mentor route. And that's going to be one of my defaults you'll see in the interview is talk to lawyers and say, look, I don't have something to sell you right now, but I'd like you to review this. And then go to friends and like, ask me, what lawyers do you know that you can set me up with? Okay, I know somebody at XYZ law firm. I know this person. So go to your network and then go to your extended network and go to the end user and get their advice on it. Let them tell you what to do.
Yeah. So I think that's really bright because, you know, you can ask them about the pricing, ask them about the structure. What do they like? What are they not like? What feedback do they have? What would make it better? And that's going to help you actually evolve that program into something that's viable.
And you're not guessing. It's not, I think a lawyer would like this. It is, I know lawyers like this because 5 people told me they would like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. What about someone that has a big idea and it's potentially something that they're going to have to get funding for? They're going to have to, you know, try to figure out like how to like blow it out.
A big idea, like, would it be in the tech space or what are you thinking?
Well, sure. Let's say I have an idea for an app and of course I don't, but let's say I do. And so I think it's the best thing since Facebook, for example, and I'm sure it's not, but, or maybe it is because Facebook, won't get into it.
Yeah.
But obviously I can talk to end users and ask them what they think of this idea. Do I have to have them sign NDAs before I share it? But then what do I do next?
And this isn't live yet. I just had this conversation with a guest on my podcast that works with startups. And as far as NDA goes, no, don't do it.
Don't have them sign an NDA. Just tell them what it is.
Don't have them sign an NDA. Cause if you think about it, it's going to cost how much money to actually enforce it. And it turns people off when people that won't sign NDAs could be geniuses and help you. And what my guest shared with me that he's learned over a decade of working with startups with marketing and sales is definitely go to your end user first. Find out if it's viable. Don't build so many startups. And I would see this when I was a mentor in a startup incubator. They'd spend money. They'd get a little bit of funding or, you know, friends and family funding, even worse yet, people close to them. They build what they thought was amazing just to find out that their end user doesn't even want it.
Yeah. Okay. So outside of the, you know, the mentorship or getting the advice of people that are in the space, who do you have to surround yourself with to get an idea off the ground, whether there's funding or not, or whether it's, there's things that are just beyond. I mean, again, there's lawyers that, you know, their job is to help people with their NDEs or their trademarks or to make sure that they're protected. You know, what's involved in taking an idea and blowing it out and actually making a reality out of it?
If it's a physical product, and I include apps and physical products, like I said, go to the end user first and also find the end user. And then also with funding, before you're asking for funding, you can always go to people on a more of a mentorship route. And ideally, if you don't know a VC or an angel investor, depending what route you're going to go through friends. And one of the things that I mentioned it once, but one of the key things is do it as early as possible. People wait until they have a product and then they say, I want advice, which can kind of get a sticky situation with the VC, because then it's, do you just want advice or are you really just tricking me into a pitch? Be able to go to them when it's like, look, I have nothing to sell you or get funded yet. That's why I want to talk to you now.
Got it.
What do you think about this? What would it take to get funding for this? Am I barking up the wrong tree? Am I in the right lane? And go to them before you have anything to sell them. It makes it so much easier for them to say yes to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you something else. I know that you mentioned somewhere in the idea climbing that mentoring and marketing are related. And I wanted to understand what that means.
What it means, and I stumbled across this on my own. I had mentors and I would get their advice. And then when social media hit, a few years ago, I started doing videos on YouTube. Now I'm doing podcasts, blog posts, LinkedIn articles. And I found there's a crossover and I started doing it and went, wow, that's a good idea. Is if you ask somebody, if you're a college student, almost anybody will mentor you. It's easy to get a CEO to say yes to the wide-eyed 19-year-old, you know, undergrad student. Almost anyone will want to help and give back. Once you get beyond 20, 30, whatever, and this can be used for the college students too, instead of just getting mentoring advice, record it and either make a blog post, record a video. If you have the technical capabilities, record a podcast. If you have the technical capabilities, if you don't, write a blog. If you don't even have WordPress, go to LinkedIn and write an article. It's free. And that way you're asking them to share their genius with you because you're going to share it with your community. And suddenly mentoring that would be behind closed doors, like it was when I started before social media hit, I'm running at about a 99% yes rate for my podcast. And people like I'm writing a book. I interviewed somebody who's taken 90 business books to the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
He cracked the code. That is somebody that I would have had to pay hundreds or $1,000+ to talk to him for an hour.
That isn't the something something for dummies guy, is it?
No, it's not.
Whoever that is brilliant. They got thousands books for dummies. That's an idea right there. Holy mackerel. Very cool. So what are some of the things that, just to understand more about what you do and how you help people, what are some of the things that when you're talking with people that people are challenged by, and then what are you working with them on directly?
It's two things. One, my passion projects are mentoring programs. And so far we've worked with Loyola University in Chicago, Columbia University in New York. We're talking to UCLA out in California. We started talking to incubators, and then, you know, the pandemic hit and that went out the window. Hopefully we'll do that when they get back. And I say a passion project because the 21 years of interviews, one of the things that almost always consistently came up was people had a mentor. All walks of life, whether they called it a mentor, an advisor, someone they could bounce things off of. So what I've done is crack the code with mentoring. Most people will say, Steve is your mentor. And they mean well. But think about an undergrad or a new startup. Steve's your mentor. And they do a matchmaking. And some of the most software, they might have thousands of people to match. That's where it ends. Undergrad or a new startup, you could put them in a room with Mark Cuban. If they don't know what to say, all they have is a fun story about meeting Mark Cuban. And we actually have an online video library and classroom where we can get taught every step of the mentoring process, how to pick them, how to reach out to them, what to do in meetings, how to have an agenda, how to follow up, how to connect your mentors. We take all the guesswork out of mentoring. And it's one of my favorite things to hear because I always include virtual or live office hours with the startups or college students, so they can ask me questions one-on-one. And it's so amazing to see them go from, I don't know what to do, help me, to at the end of the program, they're going out and finding their own mentors on their own. They're not even waiting to be matched up anymore.
Yeah, and I'm transitioning this into a legal discussion because I think one of the greatest success stories that, you know, I've heard is actually my dad, who I think he was paid some insane little amount of money when he started working for a guy in his law practice. I don't want to say like $25 a week. I'm sure this was like in the 60s or something, but even then, like 25 a week to basically go out and try cases. It was some insane, I have to get the details, but it was like some crazy number. But what he did was he had such a good mentor and such a great learning opportunity that, you know, just after a few years, he was able to not only go out on his own, but really be sustainable for the rest of his career. My question is, in the legal profession, I think there's so many different kinds of mentors that a lawyer could get. And one could be a rainmaker at a law firm. It could be a coach like myself. It could be a specific area of practice that you want to become an expert in. And so you could really drive a lot of knowledge working with someone who's top in their field. And so I think that the question that I'm now putting to you is maybe specifically within that landscape, you know, what's the approach? How does someone that's a third year associate that wants to become a top environmental lawyer, what's their script? How do they go out and identify and then communicate and then achieve getting a mentor in environmental law?
What they would do, say environmental law, the first thing they're going to do is clearly define their problem. Because I don't know how to track cases is different than I don't know how to work a room is different than I don't know how to get new clients. So clearly define the problem at hand and get as detailed as you possibly can. Then do research through Google, LinkedIn, conversations within the office, depending where it is. Find somebody who has solved that problem. If it's, I need to bring in new clients, who's the best, biggest rainmaker in the office? And when you approach them, it becomes, you know, hey, Steve, here's my challenge. I'm not going to bring in a new client yet. I'm tasked with doing that. I know that you're the top guy in the office. I'd like to talk to you about environmental law and how to get new clients. Where do you go? Who do you talk to? Can I get, and this is key for asking someone to be your mentor. I'm really big on never ask someone to be your mentor. Let it happen organically. So then it would be, Steve, can I get 20 minutes on the phone? If you're in the same office, then fine. If you're down the hall, can I get 20 minutes in your office? But if you're not geographically located in the same place, can I get 20 minutes? It's easy for someone to say 20 minutes. Yeah, call me Friday at noon. If you just say, can I have a meeting? That's such an open-ended, an hour, 30 minutes, an hour, a lunch meeting, that means an hour and a half. But it's, can I just get 20 minutes of your time?
And I'm sorry, 20 minutes of your time. Are you getting any more specific than that? Is it 20 minutes to ask you questions about how you did it?
How you did it, the checklist, what I found after all the research I've done over the years, and it's so simple. To me, I've discovered the checklist for mentoring is getting advice, support, and or connections. Okay. And the advice is experiential advice, not what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Not what book did you read? What did you do when you were in my shoes? And the support is validation. Here's what I'm doing. You know, when I go to networking events, here's my elevator pitch. Am I on the right track? And the support is a validation of, yes, I think you are, or no, you're not. You should shift gears. And then connections are, which so many people miss with mentoring. At the end of the session, if you have good rapport, now that we've had this conversation, who else do you think I should talk to about this? Leave the meeting with another connection, and you're leapfrogging and you're building your network at the same time through mentoring.
Yeah. So I think that's really great. So you're not just getting, you know, one opportunity out of it. You could be getting, you know, more and more, and again, continuing to learn, whether it's the area of practice, whether it's developing business within that area of practice, you know, really, really great stuff. And I try to do that on my podcast. I try to write, interview people and ask them questions about what their story is and how they did it. And I think people that are listening, if they really, you know, take in the content, they start to realize, you know, yeah, wow, I see this person, you know, found a certain way of doing it that I haven't even considered. And I'll give you an example. So I interviewed a gentleman, this is a top attorney in a big firm, and mentioned that, you know, he was just looking at, you know, he's reading all the newspapers and staying up to date on all the current events within a certain sector of law that he's in. And then when he saw the legal landscape changing, you know, got into it, started writing on it and putting out a lot of content. And then when it hit, he was the guy that everybody was thinking about because he was ahead of the curve. So people don't realize that that's a thing, that you can get ahead of legal marijuana or legal, a new act that's coming through in Congress or something like that. And, but, you know, that's what I try to get out of these podcasts. But I think what you're saying is people can go directly to the source and have these internal dialogues that can be game changing.
It can completely change your career, especially with the experiential advice, because they're telling you this is what's worked in the real world. That's one thing that people, they miss the mark with mentoring, is they ask the question, what do you think about this? And that elicits an opinion, as opposed to what did you do when you were in my shoes?
Yeah.
Because if they can't answer the question, it's not a bad thing. They're just not going to be the person to mentor you. That's when you ask them, okay, I get it that you haven't done this. Who do you know that has?
Right. And I think the other thing you're saying, and I'm kind of coming back to another point you made, which is on the marketing side, that the content that can be created from these conversations it's worthwhile, and it's worth something. As we marketers know, you know, content is king. So the idea that your interview is taped and then it's created a case study, or you're creating a Q&A, or you're creating a story or an interview, something that can be published or something that can be blogged or social media, you know, can pick it up and it could trend. Is that where you're going with that?
That's exactly it. And people are also more likely to say yes if it's going to be public facing.
Okay.
30 minutes of my time. If I'm a top lawyer in a law firm, that's billable hours. If you're going to make it public facing and share it with your network, that changes things, because now my name's going to get out there. I get to, and people who are altruistic, I get to share my advice with possibly, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands of people. You know what? I'll make time for that. Even if it's 20 minutes, I'll make time for that. Yeah. I don't have 30 minutes just to talk to you and shoot the breeze, but I got 20 to 30 minutes if it's going to be a podcast, a video, or something else.
Well, here's sort of an inside idea that I've advised some of my clients on. And again, if you're able to get an interview, a mentor advice interview, whatever we want to call it, with someone that is, you know, top in their field, or maybe it's a general counsel at a corporation and you're a litigation attorney, and you're able to interview them and they say yes, because it is going to be published in all of that. Well, what else does that give you? It gives you maybe an inroad to, not to sell them business, but it begins a relationship that never would have happened if you just said, you know, I want to meet you, right? They don't want to meet, some GCs don't want to meet lawyers just to meet lawyers, right? There needs to be a reason. And if you don't have an inside connection, the next best thing might be asking for advice and actually conducting an interview that can be published.
Well, what I'm all hopped up on right now is podcasts. I spent the last few years doing videos. I have a nice video library on YouTube of interviews. Great. Podcasts are easier to do, inexpensive, easy to get edited, do 20 to 30 minutes. And by getting people on them, most people will say yes to that. And what you could do if you want to use it to drive business, my podcast is Idea Climbing, conversations about mentoring, marketing, and big ideas. People pay me for mentoring programs, marketing strategy, and bringing big ideas to life. There's no mistake there. And even though I'm interviewing other people and they're sharing their genius and they're talking, you know, 80% of the time, at the end of the day, it's my podcast, it's my brand. When I did videos, I did a whole slew of them about mentoring. That branded me. People got to know, what does he do? He does mentoring programs. It's not a mistake. Some people think I want a podcast and they pick something, a totally random topic or sports. And it's like, well, if you're not in the sports world, it's a hobby. Pick something. I had a podcast for a quick minute called Podcasting Advice. And then someone pointed out to me that runs a podcasting company, a very successful one. He said, our podcast isn't about podcasts because podcasters aren't our clients. Our podcast is a B2B marketing podcast because our clients are B2B marketers. And it really hit me and I shut the podcast down. I realized, why would I waste time doing this? I'm going to put all my time into Idea Climbing and grow and build my business. And I'm meeting people. I have a call today with one of my past guests about how we could work together. Yeah. That I never would have met if I didn't say, who do you know that's a good guest for my podcast?
Yeah, it's really, I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm on 50 episodes or something like that, but I've met some of the most amazing people. I've begun relationships with people that a year ago I would have said are my competitors. You know, this is the top three people in the you know, lawyer coaching space. And we're friends. We're talking shop. We're calling each other. We're having these offline dialogues. We're realizing we're not competitors. We have a abundance mentality about it. And we're actually looking to see how we can refer each other. And because we do different things and we have different skill sets. And so it's just fascinating to think of this mentorship and Idea Climbing as a way of opening up a lot of new doors that never seemed capable of opening before. That's what I'm finding.
It definitely is. And that's why I'm so hopped up on podcasts, is that I have a 99%, just because one person was actually had a family crisis and he said no because of his family, which is understandable. And besides that, everyone said yes. And including my first guest, the first few people knew this is episode one, because that's in the title, episode one, episode two, now I'm up to episode 27. But nobody cared about the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just said yes.
Yeah. Again, it's in, I think podcasting, while it might seem that there's, you know, too many people in the space, I think that people are able to figure out, you know, which ones are quality, which ones resonate with them. And, you know, you can build an audience, but more importantly, again, it's again, just producing content that it may be listened to, but it also might be translated or transcribed into an article. It might be something that is you know, helpful on your website for SEO. So it's so many multiple uses for it. But I love the idea of mentoring and marketing and how they relate. And you know, Idea Climbing is just brilliant. And I appreciate you sharing that today with my audience.
Definitely glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, Mark, listen, we'll wrap up. And again, I just want to thank you. And for those listening, you know, this is really important information to consider how you can take your career to the next level, how you can get more great information that you never realized was available, and also build your brand. So, Mark, how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about idea climbing or contact you directly?
To contact me directly, Mark with a K, markjcarter.com. That has everything on it. And if they want to go straight to idea climbing, the idea climbing page, they can just type in ideaclimbing.com and that'll take them right to that page in the podcast.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show. And hey, listen, everybody, hopefully this is, again, just another way to help you be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care and be safe, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.